Summer Sports Week on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Hello, good afternoon and welcome to Summer Sports Week. My name is Ollie Slack and I'm with you for the next hour looking at a packed day of sport across the country and in Cambridgeshire as well. Well, England are looking for wickets against India. India need 84 runs from 7.2 overs in the Cricket World Cup. England need to win, really, to keep their hopes of qualifying for semi-finals alive. India, if they can win, I'm sure that'll probably cement a semi-final spot. There was more cricket today as Cambridgeshire travelled up to Staffordshire in the Unicorns Trophy 50-over quarter final. I'll let you know how they got on in a bit. Cambridge Baseball were in action today. We'll be speaking to our guests who came on a few weeks ago when I was in the chair on the phone to see how they got on today. And Cambridgeshire Cats American football team were also in action as well. So we'll update you with how they got on. Cambridge City have been busy in the transfer market. Stephen Warren will be joining us on the phone later on in the show to discuss their new signings. A couple of new players joined this week and a couple of exits over the past couple of weeks too. Yeah, so welcome to Summer Sports Week. My name is Ollie Slack. Jack Swinhurst has been looking after the show for the last few weeks, and he'll be back in the chair on the 14th of July, I believe, and it'll be me then up to that day, and then afterwards until From the Terraces returns and the football season gets back underway. Can you believe it? Not long away now. The U's already in pre-season. I know Cambridge City are very close to playing their first pre-season fixture as well against Huntingdon. But first, let's get to the cricket then. And England are taking on India in the Cricket World Cup. Currently, India require 84 runs from 7.2 overs. England batted first. They won the toss and batted first, despite Owen Morgan saying lots of times that he does prefer to chase. Probably the pressure of back-to-back losses for England forced him to make the decision to bat first today. Well, they got off to a brilliant start with the bat. Jason Roy scoring 66 from 57 balls. Johnny Bairstow with a brilliant 100 as well, 111. An opening stand of 160 shows Jason Roy's importance in the side. Obviously, James Vince has been playing over the last few weeks when Jason Roy has been injured. He picked up an injury against West Indies a week or so ago. But he's back in the side and scored 66 runs. Joe Root came in at 3 and scored 44. Owen Morgan was out for 1. Mohammed Shami bounced him just like Mitchell Stark did for Australia last week. So clearly people are, some of the teams in the Cricket World Cup are trying to find ways of getting Morgan out and looking like that short ball. And Morgan clearly tempted to pull it. And that is the way to get him out. Ben Stokes played another superb innings, 79 of 54 balls, a strike rate of 146. Josh Butler, a brief inning, short but sweet. It was 20 runs off just 8 balls, 1-4 and 2-6s. Caught and bowled Mohammed Shami. Shami did definitely get some tap in the last few overs there, but he did pick up 5 wickets. Chris Wokes went for 7, and Liam Plunkett and Jofra Archer were left in not out and perhaps in the end with 1 and 0 respectively. Shami picked up 5 wickets then, but it was Jasprit Bumrah, really the standout bowler. 44 runs of his 10 overs, 1 wicket. He bowled brilliantly at the death against those England bowlers. Chahal for India got 88 of his 10 overs, went at 8.8, and I believe that's his worst figures in an India shirt. Hardik Pandya, 60 runs off his 10 overs, no wickets. And Kuldeep Yadav picked up 1 wicket, but another spinner who went for runs, 72 runs off his 10 overs. So India are batting now. And it was a great start for England. Rahul went for a duck. Chris Wokes caught and bowled. Rohit Sharma was dropped on four by Joe Root. He went on to make 102. So 98 runs he cost England there. Joe Root did. Unfortunately, Virat Kohli played a nice knock for 66. Rishabh Pant came and hit 32. And Hardik Pandya is now 44 not out. MS Dhoni on 11 not out. Those two can still do some serious, serious damage with the bat. And of course, MS Dhoni is known for finishing off innings very, very well in his long career. India needs 78 runs from six overs. So it's going to be almighty effort if they can get over the line, India. So that's more than obviously the 10 over. Now it's going above and beyond 12 and over as well, run rate required. But yeah, it's going to look an almighty chase. But whilst MS Dhoni and Hardik Pandya are at the crease, you can never ever write them off. Chris Wokes picked up two wickets so far. Liam Plunkett picked up two wickets so far. So just to recap, they are 260 for four, chasing England's 337. Cambridgeshire were also in action today in the 50 overs Unicorn Trophy. Of course, much talked about it. James Williams' last season as Cambridgeshire captain. I think he is stepping down from minor counties as a whole come the end of the season. And he was involved in a match today in the Unicorn Trophy. Of course, Cambridgeshire did really well in the last round to beat Norfolk, I believe. And they were hoping to get through to the semi-finals. Let's just find out how they got on up against Staffordshire. It was always going to be a tough game. Staffordshire were now on a very, very good side. And Cambridgeshire, I guess, were the underdogs going into it. And that did sort of reflect in the scoreline. Cambridgeshire were put into bat first. They won the toss and went into bat first. However, clearly, probably wasn't the best decision. Unfortunately, they were bowled out for just 74. Wackers Hussain scored one run. Eddie Ballard, one less with a duck. Craig Park was top scorer at four. Cambridgeshire with 29. Callum Guest with one. James Williams, three. Rob Sayer, seven. Tim Moses, a duck. Josh Bowers helped increase Cambridge's lead above and beyond 50 up to 70-odd with 20. Ben Allison, Harrison Craig, Sam Rippington not troubling the scorecard much either. So Cambridgeshire finished on 74 all out, bowled out inside 27 overs. Staffordshire, well, I guess they're always going to win from that point. Cambridgeshire did pick up a few wickets. They picked up four wickets. Kadir Ali, the skipper, was not out with 30 for Staffordshire. Ben Allison picked up three wickets, though, of Peter Wilshaw, Alex Mellor and Tim Maxfield. Harrison Craig picking up another one. But it was a comfortable victory. Chased it down in 11 overs. So a really comprehensive victory for Staffordshire. They'll go on to the semi-finals. And unfortunately, in James Williams' last year as skipper of the Cambridgeshire side, he can't get some silver. I think they last won the Unicorns trophy back in 2003, I believe, and they play the final at Lords. But not to be this year. They'll have to focus on the Red Bull tournament. Of course, they went out of the white ball, other white ball tournament in the T20. They failed to qualify for T20 finals day and now exited the Unicorns trophy at the quarter final stage. So they'll be hoping to try and improve in the Red Bull format. I noticed they drew against Norfolk in their first game. So we're looking to go the distance in that, hopefully, because there's a bit of a reschedule and a reshape of that next year. We're hoping to finish in the top portion of the league before they split the leagues to reduce the games, because a lot of players struggle to get the time off work to play the longer format of the game. An update from the cricket, 71 runs needed after, in just 5.2 now. So still looking, I guess you could say, pretty unlikely. But like I said, with MS Dhoni at the crease and Hardik Pandya, you wouldn't want to count the Indians out yet. We'll be speaking to hopefully someone from Cambridgeshire County Cricket Club about that game earlier on. We'll talk about India as well. I've tried our usual contributors, the likes of Sam Rutan, James Williams, clearly busy watching the cricket. Callum Guest, as you know from the Pavilion, is not answering his phone either. But I believe we might get through to the team manager, Keith Coburn, who was at Staffordshire watching the game. So we'll speak to him, fingers crossed, a bit later on. And of course, keep you up to date with the cricket and talk Cambridge baseball and American football too.
Summer Sports Week on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Yeah, welcome back to Summer Sports Week here on Cambridge 105 Radio. I mentioned before the break that we'd be hoping to get Keith Coburn on the phone to talk about Cambridgeshire's match this afternoon against Staffordshire. I'm delighted to say join us now. Thanks for coming on, Keith.
Thanks very much.
Let's get straight to the match then today, Keith. Obviously, I guess going into the fixture against Staffordshire in the Unicorns Trophy, you were underdogs, but just disappointing, I guess, with the way you've exited the competition.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, we wasn't favourites, obviously, reason the side they put out. They bowled exceptionally well. Wicket that helped them pitch the ball up, swinging conditions, and we didn't cope with it. Simple as that.
Yeah, like I say, obviously looking back at the toss and going into bat, you mentioned the swinging conditions. Did James probably come off the field regretting his decision to bat first?
No, not at all. Not at all. We thought it was the right decision. Speaking to staffs afterwards, they'd have done exactly the same thing. Just they had the bowlers for the conditions.
Yeah, so I guess obviously when you put 74 on the board, it's always to be in any game really if you put 74 on the board, and I guess once that momentum of them picking up regular wickets, you know, they were 1 for 1, 1 for 2, 6 for 3 and 13 for 4, it's always going to be an uphill task to stem the flow and try and stop wickets falling.
Yeah, of course it is. You know, our strength in white ball cricket has been our opening partnership, like I was saying, and Ed Ballard. Obviously both those go cheaply again, the same as they did at March in the 3-day game really. And then we're up against it, but there's enough batting there to get us through. Should be able to get us through it. We've got eight recognised batters in the side. There we are.
Yeah. You look at that batting lineup, and it's very strong. The likes of Rob Sayre at 6 and Tim Moses at 7, Josh Bowers at 8. You got 100 yesterday for Wisbeach. And he really, with Craig Park, was the main partnership in the innings at 25 for 6. Suddenly then you're on 72 for 7. So I guess that was just, you needed those guys to try and stay together and get you, I guess, up to perhaps about 120, 150 to be with the game.
Yeah, we were, 150, 160 is a competitive score. I think it was always going to be hard with their batting lineup, but our strength was our batting. Unfortunately, it failed again.
And in terms of the, just a quick word on the second innings before we talk about the bigger picture, I guess, like I said, at 74, chasing down 74, it's always going to be difficult. So it was just a case of trying to pick up early wickets if you could, but it was always going to be tricky.
Yeah, so it's just damage limitation at that stage, just to see how long we can make the game last. Obviously, we didn't even make it last till lunch was 1:30, and we just about made it.
Yeah, it's almost like you wanted to get back and watch England versus India, Keith.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we got there. That was the main thing. You know, we had that thrilling win against Norfolk in the first round, but we got there, and obviously they were just too good for us.
Yeah, so moving on now to the Red Bull form, we'll talk quickly about that. Obviously, the last match against Norfolk last Sunday was a draw. I noticed in your notes before the match, talking to the local media, you said that it was a game you wanted to try and win because you felt yourselves and Norfolk were a similar ability. Coming up now on the 7th of July, so next Sunday against Cumberland, what are your thoughts heading into that one?
Yeah, much the same, really. There is in that middle band of teams are obviously trying to get into the top five. There's probably about four. There's four of us really: Norfolk, us, Cumberland, and Bucks, going for two spaces.
Yeah. So in terms of the championship, it's a competition it's a strange one this year because of the changes that's going to come into place next year. It's almost like obviously you want to try and do as well as you can and try and win it, but equally your aim going into it is always going to be just make sure we get in that top five, and then we'll be in the top split when it happens next year.
Exactly. The one good thing was, apart from Links, who obviously won in 2 days, the other four games were all rain affected, with the last day being washed out. So it's all still really a level playing field.
Yeah. Who do you look at in the Eastern Division, Keith, and see as your main challenges that are going to really possibly put a dent into finishing in the top five?
Well, as I say, the one, Norfolk, Cumberland, and Bucks. I think they're the three. Unfortunately, we don't play Bucks. That's always a good guide, because obviously if you beat them, you knock them out of it. But we miss out this year on Links and staff, so I've earmarked in the top three. And Bucks, who are with us in trying to vie for those top two places in Division 1 next season.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed, next week in Cumberland you can get a victory. It's played at Netherfield Cricket Club. So fingers crossed you can get a victory next week and try and get cemented into that top five. Let's talk England then, Keith. I'm sure you've been keeping a close eye on it this afternoon. Obviously, a massive, massive game. It goes without saying for England, if they want to qualify for the semi-finals in this World Cup, and they have picked up another wicket, it's 278 for five. So India requires 60 runs of 3.4 overs. It looks like, Keith, it looks like they're going to get over the line.
Yeah, and that will come down, obviously, that last game against New Zealand.
Mm.
But I don't think we should have been in this position to start with. Whether it's complacency, you know, we've lost three games, two of which we should have won. You know, it's easy, a bit like Cavs, really. It's easier on paper than it is actually playing.
Yeah, and in terms of how they have played in the last two games, Keith, the losses against Sri Lanka and Australia, there's been a lot of talk about whether they should have a bit of a check when it gets to a tough period in the game, because England have notoriously been, I wouldn't say flat track bullies, but sort of bludgeoned and blasted teams away over the past few years, and that's what's got them to number one in the world. Do you think there's an argument though to say that they needed to sort of take a bit of a check and perhaps knock it around the park a bit more and not be so one dimensional?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, it's all in our favour, playing on our pitches in June with the wet weather we've had. We should be head and shoulders above all the others who have just come over here for the tournament.
Mm. And in terms of the match today, then, like I say, 59 runs to win off 3.2 overs. Liam Plunkett picked up that other wicket, so he's now three wickets in the match. The decision to bring him in for Moeen Ali looks as like it's been a positive one. Do you think he could have been brought in the Australia game as well at Lord's?
Yeah, possibly. You know, it's easy in hindsight. Everything's easy when you think, well, what could have been? You know, I don't think they really competed in that game at Lords.
And then coming up, like I say, that game against New Zealand, which is happening on Wednesday, it really is an important game, irrespective of the result today. I guess New Zealand have perhaps faltered in the last couple of games, losing to Pakistan and Australia. How do you think they'll fare at Durham, England, New Zealand?
I think England's strength seems to be if they bat first.
Mm.
Put a score on the board, and then obviously the pressure's there all then on the opposition.
And that's been a really big talking point as well, because obviously England have chased, and their strongest suit, according to Owen Morgan, has been chasing over the last few years. But I guess it takes a lot of courage to go away from that in the tournament, but it's something they've had to do.
Yeah, obviously, and I think pitches come into that. You know, you've got to take the conditions into consideration. Sometimes it is best to post a score, like we tried to do today, but failed.
Well, fingers crossed when you head into that game against Cumberland next Sunday, whether you're chasing or posting a score first, you can get a decent one on the board. Keith, thanks for coming on, and I'll let you get back and watch the cricket.
OK, thanks very much.
Thanks, Keith.
Cheers.
Keith Goban there, the Cambridgeshire team manager, they're talking to us. A great guy, Keith. Yeah, obviously very disappointed about Cambridgeshire's loss today. Disappointing for the side, disappointing for James Williams to miss out on some silverware in his last season, but I'm sure they'll be looking to go all the way in the Red Bull competition. We've got more here on Cambridge 105 Radio after this.
Sports Week on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Yeah, welcome back to Summer Sports Week here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Right, there's lots of other sport going on around the country today. Of course, we mentioned the England are playing in the cricket. Max Verstappen has won, I think he's won, the Austrian Grand Prix in the end. There was another controversial matter going on, I think, with Verstappen potentially illegally overtaking someone in that race. He has won it, but again, it still says he's under investigation, so we're not entirely sure whether that is going to be confirmed. It's like VAR, but to another extreme in the Formula One at the minute. Of course, Wimbledon is getting underway tomorrow, I believe. And there's Major League Baseball in London. The London Seas will be speaking baseball a bit later on at the show. There's African Cup of Nations going on as well. Madagascar are beating Nigeria 2-0. and Guinea are beating Burundi 2-0 as well. Yes, so obviously the main talking point is the cricket, and England are almost home. Well, I say if India win from here, which they definitely won't now. 51 runs needed from 1.5 overs. So England are all but there, and that will take them on to 10 points, 1 point behind India and New Zealand in the World Cup group. India, of course, still will have two games to play. England just the one against New Zealand on Wednesday. But let's talk American football then, as promised. I'm delighted to say that Chris from Cambridgeshire Cats has joined me on the line now to talk about their match today. Chris, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Ollie.
Yeah, let's just, before we talk about today's match, it's been a bit of a while since we've had you on, but I've obviously been keeping up to date with the record, and obviously been including you in our bulletins. If the keen listeners of Cambridge 105 Radio will know, and it's been going pretty well. It's going very well. 100% record prior to today. 8 wins. So you must be delighted with how the season's gone.
Yeah, that's been fantastic. I mean, with our win last time, we locked up our entrance to the postseason, so we've definitely got playoffs on the cards.
That was one of my questions. I've tried to sort of have a look and see if I can find a table. I'm not sure if it's been updated on the website I've got here for the British American football page, but surely playoffs are in contention if you've won 8 and haven't lost a game.
Yeah, no, we've definitely made it through to playoffs for this year. And today's game was the decider for who would sit top of the table.
Okay, so I'm going to say, judging by the Facebook post an hour ago, unfortunately, the London Hornets ran out winners in the end, a 9-6 victory, so a low-scoring game compared to some of the other we've seen this season. Chris, obviously disappointed to miss after what we're talking about in being such a great season.
Yeah, it was a real blow to the side. Like, you know, when it's that close and we kind of feel like we kind of beat ourselves up. We gave up a lot of really silly penalties. So we kind of feel like we beat ourselves.
Mm. Yeah, and it, I guess you see the true character of a side in how they bounce back. Coming up against Colchester Gladiators, a bit of a wait, effectively a month out. Is that just like a mid-season break?
No, that's it's just the way that the scheduling falls out. Like, some years you end up playing every other week. Sometimes you get these big breaks. But, I mean, we've got training every week now, between now and that game. So it's how we improve, it's how we bounce back from this disappointment.
Yeah, of course. And like I said, that is the real true character of a side. So to Colchester Gladiators, what do you know about them? Beat them at the start of the season, the first match actually, 27 points to nil. So a convincing win there. I imagine they'll be trying to seek some revenge.
Yeah, they're definitely coming out to have some revenge against us. We've just got to keep our heads, go into that game, treat it like any other. Like I said, we've locked up postseason, but we can still come top of the table if we win that game. So we've still got everything to play for.
Yeah, I was going to say, is the situation, if you can win this next game against Colchester and assume that London Hornets might slip up, is there an opportunity for you then to take top spot?
No, well, as long as we beat Colchester, we'll take the top spot because we hold the head-to-head aggregate score against the London Hornets.
Brilliant.
So our win against them at their place was more convincing.
Brilliant. And I guess going into these, the likes of the playoffs, so we're looking at the dates here on the website, quarterfinals August 11th, semifinals August 18th, and of course, fingers crossed for the final on September 1st. Going into those games, it is similar, I guess, with what we're seeing with the Cricket World Cup, in that because it's a league format, then you go into a playoff sort of semi-finals. You want to be going into those semi-finals, irrespective of your record, I guess, over the season. You want to be going into those quarter-finals game on August the 11th in top form.
Yeah, exactly. We need to be going into those games thinking it's a one-game season at that point. It's win or die at that point for us.
So how do you get the guys up for that? Because when you've been on such good form all season, and then you almost, it was sort of rides on one game, it must be, I guess, difficult to try and sort of a different mentality heading into it, because you know it's all or nothing.
Yeah, it's definitely a all or nothing mentality. And the coaches are really good at giving us that kind of boost. They're talking to us through the weeks there, making sure that we're focused, you know, giving us the right kind of like inspiration to go into those games and play our hearts out and give it all we got.
Exactly, yeah. And that is going to be, I guess, a real, all the playoff games are crunch games because they are one-off. So yeah, going into that Colchester Gladiators game, I guess you need to be on top form. But yeah, just overall, Chris, before we let you go, an unfortunate loss today, but raring to go in a month's time against Colchester Gladiators.
Yeah, it's tough, but sometimes you got to lose to win. You got to have that sting. You got to have that feeling that, all right, we can't take anything for granted. We've got to go 110 miles an hour. Because when you win 8 games on the trot, you start to think, oh, we're unbeatable. No one can touch us. Now, with this loss, that should give us the impetus to regroup, band together as a team and make the most of the rest of our season.
Yeah, and just quickly, sorry, as well, is there anything in the game today? I guess it's probably difficult having just finished, but you might analyse it over the next few weeks. You've obviously got a long time to analyse it. Is there anything that, I guess, that you thought really let you down, even in particular, that you'll look to fix? Or was it just a bad day at the office and you won't really, you know, rush in to make any panic decisions and it'll just be business as usual come July 28th?
Like I said, it kind of feels like we beat ourselves, like we just made a lot of mental errors. So it wasn't like both the Hornets and I, we feel we're pretty evenly matched. You know, we're both like quite hard teams, but it's just a couple of slips of mental errors, and that's where we lost it.
Exactly. No fingers on the panic button just yet, of course.
Definitely no fingers on the panic button.
Exactly, yeah. So fingers crossed, Chris, you go well against Colchester Gladiators in about a month's time, and then you'll be in super form heading into those playoff games. Thanks for coming on the radio, Chris. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. We love coming on.
Cheers. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris there from the American football team. Cambridgeshire Cats doing very, very well. Flying the flag for Cambridgeshire very well indeed. 1-8 out of the 8 games before today. Unfortunately, lost to London Hornets. Their record is 8-1. But nonetheless, a brilliant season so far. Colchester Gladiators at home on July 28th. And then heading to August is when it's crunch time. The playoff games, quarterfinals on August the 11th. And then the semi-finals, if they get there, on August the 18th. And then, of course, the final on September 1st. So that is going to be a big game to look out for. We'll keep you posted here on Cambridge 105 Radio and for our sport coverage all throughout the week. I was going to play a track, but I got some obviously breaking news for it. England have won. They have beaten India by 31 runs. So a fairly comprehensive victory in the end after looking pretty nerve-wracking throughout that run chase, Indian run chase. But I can confirm that England won by 31 runs. And looking at the table now, it looks so much nicer for England fans. They're back into those elusive 4 playoff spots. They're on 10 points with a net run rate of bang on 1, which is at the highest level with the highest with Australia, who are at the top of the table with 14. So the table reads as follow: Australia at the top, played 8, won 7, lost 1 with 14 points. Then in second, India is still there with a game in hand on Australia. So they have 2 games left, played 7, won 5, lost 1, and no result, 1 as well. A net run rate of 0.8 with 11 points. New Zealand also won 11 points, but a net run rate of 0.5. They had 1 no result, 2 losses, and they've won 5 of their 8 games. England are in fourth. They've jumped back above Pakistan, winning 5 of their games so far, losing 3. Have not had any game fall foul to the weather, and a net run rate of 1 with 10 points. Pakistan 9 points, Bangladesh 7, Sri Lanka 6. And then into the sides who cannot qualify, South Africa, West Indies and Afghanistan on 5, 3 and 0 respectively. That game against New Zealand on Wednesday at Durham is going to be massive for English cricket. We'll see how they get on. I'm sure we'll talk about it on From the Pavilion as well. But anyway, back to the track that I was going to play. Enjoy this from George Ezra.
Summer Sports Week on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Yeah, welcome back to Summer Sports Week here on Cambridge 105 Radio. It definitely is summer. If summer hadn't arrived before this weekend, it certainly has. Temperatures up to 30 plus degrees, and you can always tell it's summer because you get bitten a lot by mosquitoes, as I found out this weekend, itching them on the way in the car to the studio this afternoon. Anyway, a bit of some news from the England women, of course, football team. They're in action on Tuesday in the World Cup semi-finals. They're taking on the US of A. And there's been a bit of controversy because apparently the USA have sort of sent someone round to snoop round England's hotel, apparently, because if the USA women get through to the final next weekend, that will be the hotel that they will stay in, and it happens to be the same hotel England women are staying in for the semi-final ahead of the game on Tuesday. So it's been a bit of controversy. This is what Phil Neville had to say about it. He didn't approve.
I hope they enjoyed the hotel, you know, but not something that we'd do, send somebody round to another team's hotel. But it's their problem. I'm sure that Jill probably wouldn't have been happy with that arrangement. I wouldn't have been if that was my team ops person going round. You know, it's just not etiquette, really, is it?
So Phil Neville not very happy there, and probably rightly so. A bit of arrogance there from the USA side, assuming they're going to get to the final. Or you could just say they've been well prepared. Anyway, let's talk baseball now. I did say they were in action today. They weren't in action today, so that's what I meant to say. But they're having a very good season so far, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the phone by Dan, who came on the show a few weeks ago to talk about Cambridge baseball. Dan, thanks for coming on the show.
Not a problem. Nice to be back on.
Yeah, good to have you on. Let's chat a bit about Cambridge baseball. And of course, there's lots of baseball going on this weekend as well. I noticed the West Ham Stadium, the Olympic Stadium, has been incredible. It's brilliant how it's been turned into a baseball arena for the weekend. We'll talk to you a bit about that as well. But in terms locally, to start with, the Monarchs, they're doing pretty well in the Double A South Pool B. Third place, play 10, won 5, lost 5. So how are you feeling of the season so far?
I mean, they're looking rather good at the moment. I think they are really looking to push on and try and get into that top two. It's been a bit difficult because they have had issues with numbers. They always do. Like I said before when we came on, they have a few players who are from out of town as such, who have come to universities or are from the bases. So they're not always available every week. So it has been a little bit difficult for them to keep their best nine as such. But I think they will kick on and I think push up a little bit further in that league. They're certainly good enough to come second or even first in that division.
Yeah, and looking at the fixtures, play 10 so far, so I'd assume that means they've played every side so far. They play two fixtures, don't they? So they would have played every side so far. So is it now the turn of the reverse fixtures? Are we at that part of the season?
The double A division is actually a little bit strange in that there are some double headers and then there are other weekends where you just play one game that's a longer game.
Okay.
I think because of the numbers in that division. So it's a little bit hard to judge without actually looking at the league table myself right now. But they must have played everyone at least once, and some teams that have played a couple of times now, I would imagine.
Yeah, and they're next in action in July against league leaders London Marauders. So it's going to be a tricky affair, it looks like. But looking at the matches, it might only just be the one game that weekend, which it is. It is the doubleheader, sorry. It's doubleheader, 11:30 and 3 o'clock against London Marauders. So that's going to be a tricky one. But like you say, if they want to try and get to the top spots, they're going to have to beat those sort of sides.
Oh, definitely. Like I said, the London Marauders are a really good side, actually. I did get to see them a little bit when they played earlier in the year, and they are fantastic. So it will be a tough game for them to overcome them. But if they've got their best nine out, they can beat anyone in that division, to be perfectly honest.
Great to hear, yeah. And in terms of the Roars and the Lancers, how are they faring? A bit of a trickier season, currently occupying the bottom two spots in the Central Division, in the Single A Central Division. So it's obviously a bit of a tricky season, but I guess for the back end of it, you're now looking to try and push on and just avoid sitting at the bottom two spots.
It would be really good to push up the league a little bit more. I think when I said before, it has been a little bit different in our division in that we don't have a central league above us. So everyone who wants to play in the central division is potentially a double A or a single A team. Mm. So whereas some teams have got players that have had 4, 5, 6, 7 years experience, a lot of our players are sort of in their second, maybe third season. And to be fair, most of the Lancers are in their first year. So it was always going to be difficult for our two teams to really push on in there. But we'd both like to try and move up a couple of spots if we can.
Yeah, and I noticed you said as well that I guess the side you're in as well and the Royals and the Lancers have sort of struggled with availability as well. But I guess if you go into the back end of the season, like we say, if you can climb out of those bottom two spots and really stamp a mark on that division and compete with some of those sides who, like you say, are probably better suited to some of the divisions above, that'd be a great achievement.
I think so. I think most of our outlook for this year has really been that if we can be competitive, even if we are getting beaten by these teams, then we're going in the right direction, which is basically what we're aiming for. We should be learning and developing as we go, with the idea to be able to move some of these players up to the double A side next year potentially.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And let's then talk about the Lancers and the Royals' next couple of fixtures. So back in action on the 7th of July. The Lancers are at Long Eaton Storm, a couple of games for them there, and the Royals are not in action until the week after, actually, on the 13th of July against Leicester Blue Sox. So what do you make of those sets of fixtures?
Long Eaton with the Lancers will be very difficult. They were champions of the entire competition last year. They won the Central League and then they went on and won the national playoffs at single A. So they are a very, very good side. It's a little bit of a mismatch, but I if the Lancers keep doing what they've been doing in the last few weeks, they'll push them a lot closer than they did in the earlier fixture in the season.
Yeah, and sorry, go on.
Sorry. For the Royals, I mean, we play Leicester. Leicester, again, are another very good team who are, I believe, they're second at the moment. They're really trying to push Long Eaton as well. We had a really close game with them earlier in the season when it was sort of one or two runs going into the last inning. So if we can replicate that, then we will have a fairly good chance of taking one win off them, I hope.
yeah, let's hope so. And I'm just looking, like I said at the top of the interview, at some of the clips from the MLB, the Major League Baseball London series, of course, heading over to the UK, and said that the Olympic Park and the Olympic Stadium have been transformed into something probably better seen in the States. But great news for baseball in the UK. They're going to be hosting matches. London is going to be hosting matches in 2019 and 2020 as well. So it's brilliant, I guess, for the UK and the baseball scene to head over.
It's been brilliant. We got some tickets to go along to the workout day on Friday, which is great. We got to go and watch both teams do their batting practice and their warm-ups all afternoon on Friday. And that was just excellent. And getting to have a look around the stadium and take part in some of the bits and pieces outside was great. And then a good amount of us actually managed to go along yesterday and watch. And it was a crazy game, but it was a brilliant game to be at for everyone. It was, most of our team, it was their first proper experience of an MLB game. So it was a great time for everyone, really. And as for the recruitment and boosting the reputation of the sport, I mean, we've had 4 or 5 inquiries already just over the weekend since this has happened. So it's certainly making people have a look for teams in their area. So I'm hoping that we'll grab a few more before this is all over.
Yeah, definitely so. I'm just reading now. It said tickets sold almost instantly for the matches, despite a few inflated costs on the tickets compared to the sort of equivalent fixtures in America. But yeah, it's brilliant to hear that. Dan, thanks for coming on once again. I really appreciate it. And we'll catch up as we continue to do on Summer Sports Week to see how you're getting on later on the season.
Not a problem. Thanks for having us.
Cheers, Dan. It was down there from a Cambridge Baseball Club. Of course, they have three sides, and the Monarchs doing very well indeed. And a bit more tricky for the Lancers and the Royals, but no doubt they're trying their hardest to avoid sitting at the bottom of the table there. And up next, we'll be moving from baseball to the London Stadium's original purpose recently, which is football. We're talking Cambridge City with Stephen Warne after this short break. Welcome back to Summer Sports Week. I'm delighted to say that I'm now joined by our Cambridge City expert, Stephen Warne. Thanks for coming on the show, Stephen.
Yeah, cheers, Ollie. How you doing?
Yeah, good. It's strange to talk to you when the sun's shining in the middle of July. How are you?
I know. Yeah, I know. I wondered what you'd fill the show with, but it's good to be back. And obviously excited to talk about the new season. I know it's we've had a bit of a break, but obviously it's going to come around pretty quickly now, I think.
So it has come around very quickly. Yeah, let's. I know it's only brief today. I'm sure we'll hear much more from you when the football season really properly gets underway. But a bit of transfer news this week. Two incomings, Maddie Sparrow and Andy Palmer. So your thoughts on them?
Good signings, I think. I must admit, I know more about Sparrow because obviously he played in the same league against us last year for Yaxley. I think he was on Peterborough's books as a youngster. So, you know, quite a decent acquisition. I think getting 12 goals for them was good because they, you know, finished mid-table, but like us, but certainly, you know, it wasn't the side that perhaps, you know, in terms of fashioning chances for him and being that main man. So for us, I think he's going to do well. It's kind of the sort of play we need. So I think that was a good little signing for Robbie there. And I don't know about the other. Sounds like he's played higher, you know, obviously with Sarah and stuff. Again, good to have experience in the league we're going into as well. So I think that will be nice to see. And sounds like he's quite versatile, you know, playing anywhere across the middle. So I think, a couple of good signings. And it's overall, I think the squad's building nicely. We're probably two or three short, but, you know, the ones he's made have been pretty good so far, I think.
A bit of a strange one as well with Trey Mitford, I believe, signed from Aylesbury United. And then sooner rather than they arrived, he'd moved on to Bedford.
I think because a lot of that is character, but, you know, yeah, if he's doing that already, because, you know, it doesn't bode particularly well, you know. I mean, as well, I think it just puts pressure on himself, you know. If he's going to do things like that, it's saying, well, I'm obviously doing it for the money, and actually it then puts pressure on him. So I'm not sure, to be honest, about that. It's not the sort of player that necessarily is one. If it is the reason that he's gone is just for more money. But, you know, having said that, when he signed for us, I was quite pleased and, you know, thought he'd be an exciting player. So, you know, good luck to him. But I think really you've got to question the attitude on that, to say one thing and then do another. You know, I hope there's not a whole load of players like that. You know, I know Robbie's got lots of phone calls and lots of irons and fires, and a lot of players will probably want to manage the best deals, and that's right. But once you commit, I think that's, you know, that's, you should commit then. So I think that's poor form if he's changed like that. But, you know, we want players that want to play for us. I know Robbie's a big fan of that, and I think he's getting a group that are doing that. So, yeah, we move on. I think we still say we do need to replace him as a striker, but I'm sure he'll get one before the end of the window.
Yeah, of course. And like you said, Robbie has talked a lot about mentality and signing players who want to play for City. And believe us, there are a lot of players who do want to play for Cambridge City. I guess Trey Mitford then coming in and leaving him very quickly suggests he's not the right man. And very quickly, if you could, Steve, just in about 30 seconds, Ryan Sharman's departed. It's almost like it's been inevitable for some time. Disappointing to see him go.
Yes. You know, good player. But he had a really good season. I think, again, pressure didn't quite match it. But he's still a good player. You know, he's a nice lad. I know Robbie rated him. He did his best for us. I'd say he had a really good season. Good club man, nice guy, going into a high level, so fair play to him and wish him well there. You can't really argue with that decision. I'm sure he'll do well there, and we'll look to fill his boots with someone else.
I'm sure you will. Steve, thanks very much for coming on, mate, and we'll speak to you, no doubt, as the season gets properly underway.
Thanks, Ollie. All the best.
Cheers. Stephen Warne there, our Cambridge City expert, familiar voice from the terraces and our sports shows all throughout the football season. The Cambridge Football Show will be back very soon, if you can't wait. I believe from the terraces back towards the end of July as well. So fingers crossed for that. And that's pretty much it then for today's show. Coming up after me here on Cambridge 105 Radio this evening from 7 until 8 is Easy on the Ear with Tony Bunford. Who else? Of course, you've got to have another slot on a Sunday afternoon. Then the Scar and Bee Show, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Stagger, and then Opus 105 taking you through to midnight. And I'll be back on From the Pavilion on Wednesday evening, so make sure you stay listening.
Cambridge 105 Radio.